no one understand. And there again, I like the title, Following the Shepherd, because it's an accurate depiction of what the Lord Jesus Christ does in our lives, or endeavors to do. But you could also title this series, How to Follow the Lord, How Does God Lead Us, Being Led by the Holy Spirit. The bottom line is, Jesus is still leading His church today. And we need to know how He does it, so we can follow Him. Now, notice Psalm 23, very familiar passage to all of us. That first verse, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That Hebrew word want, kaser, literally means I shall not want, I shall not lack, I shall not fail. And then he goes on to say, He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, if there's one thing that David, who wrote this psalm, understood, and it was the importance of following the Lord. Now, of course, Jesus hadn't been crucified yet. The resurrection hadn't taken place yet. Later we see, hundreds of years later, in the Gospel of John, Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I am the good shepherd, and the shepherd gives his life for the sheep." And so we know that this psalm is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus identified himself as the good shepherd. Now, if you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. There again, we're just establishing this fact that Jesus is the shepherd. And He's still leading His sheep today. We need to know how to follow Him. We have to know how the shepherd leads. Hebrews chapter 13. And these two verses are two of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. In fact, whenever I send anybody a letter, if you've visited us, you got a letter from me, unless I couldn't read your address or I couldn't read your name. But you got a letter from me, and these verses were in that letter. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21 say, "Now may the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will." Notice this, "working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight by Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." But the writer of Hebrews calls Jesus the great shepherd of the sheep. And so there's no mistaking the fact that He's still leading the church today. We need to know how He does it. Peter wrote in his writings and called Jesus the chief shepherd. And in particular, he was writing to elders or pastors and said, you know, take oversight of the flock of God, you know, not for filthy lucre, not doing it for the wrong motive, but doing it recognizing that you must answer to the chief shepherd. You're an under-shepherd, you have to answer to the chief shepherd. I realize that one day I'll have to stand before Jesus and give an account for my service, my ministry. What did I do? What did I teach? How did I treat His people? Not mine, His. So when you all mess up, say, "God damn your people." Your people. And so I have to be careful how I handle God's property, God's sheep. That's you guys, okay? And so I do endeavor to do everything with integrity and never abuse the sheep. My goodness, I got to answer to the chief shepherd. You think I'm crazy? I got to stand before him one day and give an account. And so I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear, well, what have you done? Oh, my goodness. That's what some people are going to hear. Not this boy. All right, Jesus is the great shepherd. Now, how does he lead? How does he lead? Well, we established last week that the primary way that God leads his people is through his word. Through his word. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I like another translation of that verse. And it is amazing. In the Amplified Bible, it translates Matthew 4:4 like this. "But he replied, 'It has been written, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.'" And so if you want to live, if you want to be upheld, if you want to be sustained, the only way to achieve it is through his word. That is the primary way that God leads his people. As you spend time meditating in God's word, the Holy Spirit will take that word that you study and he will speak to you. And he will make a practical application of that word to your life. And in essence, that's why we come together to fellowship, to be taught the word. We should. Some people go to church to be entertained. I'm not your guy. Okay. If you're looking for a show, it's the other place down the street. It's not me. But if you want to learn how to take God's word and apply it to your life, you come to the right place. Amen? But there are many people who've been parked in a pew for decades and don't know the word. Don't know what the shepherd is saying to them. Now, how important is God's word? I mentioned Job last week, that the Bible says about Job, he was a man who desired God's word more than he did his necessary food. I had a teacher who used to say to me often, he used to say to our class, he said it to all of us, he said, "Most of you feed your body 3 hot meals a day. Some people feed their spirit 1 cold snack a week and wonder why they're weak and powerless. You need to feed your spirit on God's word." You need to feed your spirit on God's word. The first psalm says, "Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. But the ungodly are not so. They're like the chaff that's blown away by the wind. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." So, you know, God's word is necessary for our life. And so you need to incorporate God's word into your life consistently. If you want to follow the shepherd, he's going to speak to you through the word. Now, I know there are a lot of people who have a lot of different opinions about a lot of different stuff. But let me show you how Jesus put it so succinctly. At one point, he said this in the Gospel of Luke. Write this down. Luke chapter 6. And he said something in verse 46. He said this, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" Here's how that verse is translated in the Message Bible. Luke 6:46 and 47. "Why are you so polite with me, always saying, 'Yes, sir,' That's right, sir. But never doing a thing I tell you. These words that I speak to you are not mere additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundation words, words to build a life on. You want to follow the shepherd and build a godly life? You do it through the word. Now, when I say the word, what I mean in particular is the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and everything to the right of that. All right? The book of Acts, Romans, 1st, 2nd Corinthians. Those are letters written to the church, believers, born-again folk. We need to know the Old Testament, but the Old Testament is the pattern. Everybody say pattern. Pattern for the Christian life. But we don't wear a pattern, we wear the fabric. That's the New Testament. Faith in Jesus Christ brings redemption and the new birth. Then we grow in His Word. We follow Him through His Word. You need to have the Word in your ear. You need to have the Word in front of your eyes. You with me?
Amen.
We've got to understand God's Word has integrity, has power. That's the foundation for it all. I'm not one of those who majors in the Old Testament. I know the Old Testament very, very well. I can quote it to you. Not all of it, but some of it. There's some books that I really love that I know inside and out. But many things written in the Old Testament were not written to born-again, Spirit-filled Christians. You can get in the book of Leviticus and get all jacked up. I'm serious. But you're not a Jew living under the law. It's not written to you. Are you with me? Now listen, this is practical because I remember being at somebody's home many, many years ago. And, you know, somebody was cooking something and somebody got indignant. I'm not eating that pork. What? Bible says that all eaters of swine are going to hell. And you know, he's right. That's what it says. But you're not a Jew living under the Levitical law. Now, there's some good practical stuff. Yeah, Cheryl said, thank God, you know. Now, is it wise to eat a lot of pork? No. It's not healthy for you. That's why God instituted those laws. You with me? Guess what else it says don't eat? Lobster.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, some of y'all said, what? Yeah, it's in there. But thank God for Jesus. Paul wrote to Timothy and said, nothing's to be refused if it's received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified, separated, set apart, and cleansed by the word of God in prayer. That's why we pray over our meals. Not just because it's what you're supposed to do. We pray over our meals because we got to eat that stuff. You don't know what's in that stuff. Even if you made it, you don't know what's in it. Because the stuff you made it with, you went to the store and got. I pray over my food all the time. You know? And it works. It works. The last time I actually ate something and brought it back up, oh boy, 47 years ago. I was 10 years old. Had an ice cream eating contest with my Uncle Tony. He's a grown man. My mother made goulash that day. So my Uncle Tony gave me a half gallon of butterscotch ice cream. He said, come on, Davy, I bet you can't out-eat me. Oh, yes, I can. You know how you are when you're a kid, naive and stupid, and an adult's taking advantage of you. Come on, Davy, see if you can eat this whole half gallon. I ate the whole half gallon ice cream. Oh, Patrick, I threw up so hard, I burst blood vessels in my eyes. My mother took me to the hospital. My eyes were blood red. And the doctor said, what happened to you? I threw up. The doctor started laughing at me. And I didn't think that was too nice. And so my mother said, "What's wrong with him? What do we?" He said, "Oh," he said, "nothing." He said, "Boy, next time you puke, shut your eyes." That has nothing. No, I don't eat butterscotch ice cream or goulash to this day. I ain't eating it. I've got bad memories about goulash. You know, now we have a thing. You know, I'm not real fond of cheese either. Yeah. Cheese. Now I eat pizza and stuff like that, but, you know, I don't care. You know why I don't eat cheese today? I had a bad experience in the third grade. We went on a field trip. I remember my teacher's name, Mrs. Brown. And we had, you know, those little half pints of milk in the back of the bus. We lived in California. It was hot. And they left that milk on the bus all day. And we got back from our field trip, got on the bus. The bus smelled like sour milk all the way home. And it reminds me of cheese. So, anyway, there is some useless information you didn't need to know. All right, God's word is foundational. So, you know, don't get hung up in the Levitical law about all of these things. There's some good practical things in there, some things that will never change. Are you with me? But when the Bible says, don't wear two different kinds of fabric or you'll be stoned to death, you know, that doesn't apply to you. All right? But when the Bible says, you know, don't sleep with your wife's sister, yeah, that's good. Don't do that. You with me? Don't sleep with an animal. Don't do that. Don't do it. Some things never change. You with me? Now, turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. I want to show you something about how the shepherd leads us. How does God lead us today? How does the shepherd lead us today? Primarily through the Word. Jesus was approached many times in his earthly ministry. People would come to him, "Good master, what must I do for this, that, and the other?" And he would respond, "What does the Scripture say?" And they'd say, "Well, it says, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength." And Jesus said, "Great, do it." He would always point people to the Word. But I want to show you another way that he leads his people today. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to look at verse 8. Now, follow along with me. Notice what it says. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell," underline these next two words, "in you." Now, I always encourage people to write in their Bibles, mark them up. Well, if your Bible's so holy you can't mark it up, throw it away and go buy one you can write in. "You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God," notice, "dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be," underline these next two words, "in you, the body's dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell," underline these next two words, "in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells," underline these next two words, "in you." Now, here we have unmistakable evidence that the Spirit of God, notice he's referred to as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, or Christ. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, or Christ. They're all referring to the same person. Christ lives in you in the person of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And if you're born again, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, he lives in you. Now, we've seen four times that he lives in us. Notice he used the word dwell. If the Spirit of God dwell in you. That word dwell is a Greek word, oikeo, when it literally means to take up residence. In other words, that's where he's living. I went to a church service one time many, many years ago, and I was trying to help some people understand biblical truth. And one of the sisters said to me, said, "Woo, man, presence of God is here." I said, "I know." She said, "How do you know?" I said, "He came in with me." Now, that might sound like a bold, obnoxious statement, but it's true. So many times we're waiting for a feeling when we need to trust what God's Word says. The Holy Spirit lives in you. I read something the other day that just thrilled me. And it was a statement that was made by Hilton Sutton. Hilton Sutton went to be with the Lord last year. He was one of the best Bible teachers on end time prophecy. In fact, we did his series on the book of Revelation when we were over on 12th Street. We're going to do it again on Wednesday nights. Not this week, but we'll do it soon. But Hilton Sutton said something, and I'd never thought about it like this. He told another man, a missionary named Terry Mize, he said, "You know, I love cemeteries." Terry Mize says, "Why?" He said, "It's so peaceful there, and the Holy Spirit's there." And Terry Mize has preached all over the world. And he said, "Explain that to me." He said, "Well, the Bible says that when the last trump sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise first." So the Holy Spirit hovers over the resting place of Christians 24/7 because he has to be in place and ready for when that trump sounds. He never knows when God is going to say, "Now." And the dead in Christ shall rise. I thought, ooh, that's powerful. Well, one thing I can count on is he lives in you. Are you with me? Now, please don't say, "Oh, Pastor Young said that the Holy Ghost hangs out in cemeteries." I'm just sharing what Hilton Sutton said. But I know for sure, Romans chapter 8 says, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ lives where? In you. Now, go back to Romans chapter 8. Watch this. Go down to verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. We've just established that the Spirit of God lives in you. So if the Spirit of God lives in you, why do we seek guidance out here through the flesh? If His Spirit of God lives in you, it would stand to reason that He's going to lead you from the inside out, not from the outside in. Y'all still there? If the Spirit of God lives in you, and they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, He's going to lead you from the inside out, not from the outside in. And so many Christian people don't understand that, don't practice that, don't believe that, don't know that, and so they seek guidance through the flesh. "Well, Lord, if the phone rings 3 times, I'll know it's your will that I go to church today." That is not biblical. God doesn't lead you through the phone ringing. The Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is." That's God's word to you. That is the written word of God. We don't have to pray about that. Just do it. Are you with me? So we have God's word on it. We don't need anything else. But He will lead you from the inside out. "Well, Pastor Bill, didn't Gideon put out a fleece?" Yeah, Gideon said, "Well, God, if this is you, make this wet, and if it's you, make it dry." But guess what? Gideon didn't have the Holy Ghost living in him. Gideon wasn't born again. Gideon was in the flesh, so God had to deal with him through the flesh. I'll put it this way, He expects more of you. Because He lives in you. Now, turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. How does the shepherd lead us? Well, primarily through the Word. Primarily through the Word. But then He also leads us by His Spirit within. He leads us by His Spirit within. Notice Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. It says this, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly." Now, we've heard that word lamp before, haven't we? Remember last week, the psalmist said, "Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In other words, I am led by your word. Your word illuminates my life, shows me where I should go, where I should step. Well, that Hebrew word near, N-E-E-R, is the same word used in Proverbs 20:27. The spirit of man is the lamp or the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. What does that mean? That means that God will illuminate you, enlighten you in your spirit. God will illuminate you in your spirit. Or turn the light on. Have you ever seen a cartoon about, you know, showing somebody getting an idea? You see a little puffy cloud, and then what do you see in the puffy cloud? A light coming on. Ah, I got it. I see it. Well, that's what God does in your life. Only He doesn't use your mind. He uses your spirit. Because that's where the Holy Spirit dwells. The spirit of man is the lamp or the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. So how does the shepherd lead us? Number one, primarily through the word. He speaks to us through the word. Number two, He primarily leads us by the inward witness. Go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I should have told you to keep your finger there. Romans chapter 8. We've established that the Spirit of God lives in us. Verse 14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, if He lives in us, He'll lead us from the inside out. Notice verse 16 of Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 16. And it says this in the King James, "The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." One translation said, "The Spirit Himself, He's a person. He's not an it. He's not an experience. He's a person." Amen. Now, if the Holy Spirit's a person, then you can have a relationship with Him. Amen. You with me? See, there are a lot of things that we deal with in life that we just can't really have a relationship with. All right? I got a nice TV in my family room. I can watch it all day long, but I really can't have a relationship with my television. Some of y'all try, but you really don't. Okay? Your TV doesn't do it, it just comes on. All you do is change the channel, adjust the volume. But it's on. Can't have a relationship with him. I got a wonderful dog at home. I love my dog, Weimaraner. Pretty dog. I can't have a relationship with my dog. My dog is limited. All right? Now, dogs have emotions. They, you know, all that good stuff. And, you know, I love my dog, but it's a dog. You can't really have a relationship with your dog. Why? It's not a person. Dogs don't speak. They bark, but they don't speak. You can't converse with a dog. It's a one-way conversation. But the Holy Spirit is a person. Amen. He'll speak to you. Amen. He will answer you. He will lead you and guide you. That's why He came. Are you with me? So the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, back up in your Bibles to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. How does the shepherd lead us? Primarily through the Word. He leads us primarily through His Word. But He also leads us by His Spirit within. John chapter 16. You guys learning anything today? John chapter 16, and we'll start with verse 5. Notice what it says. Jesus is speaking. He said, "But now I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrows filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is profitable for you that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they don't believe on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Notice what he says next. I have many things yet to say to you, but you can't bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. And we've already seen from the Epistle to the Romans that he lives in us. But Jesus said he will guide you, he will lead you, he will speak to you, he will show you things. Now, the word guide is a Greek word, hodageo, and it literally means someone who takes you by the hand and leads you from place to place. And it paints a picture of a tour guide. If you've ever gone to a foreign country and gone on a tour, you know, they have tour guides who will lead you and show you the sights. Now, you can go on your own and fumble your way around and find some stuff, but if you really want to hit the good places, get a good tour guide. And they'll give you all the information you'd ever want to know. Save you a whole lot of time. Are you with me? Well, that's why the Holy Spirit's been sent to live inside you. To lead you, to guide you. He will speak to you. He will show you things. Are you with me? That's how the shepherd leads us. Primarily by the word, but then he leads by the inward witness. The Spirit of God leading, guiding, speaking, and showing. Now, notice that he leads, he guides, he speaks, and he shows. Well, if he did that in Jesus' day, he still does that today. I am not of the persuasion of biblical theologians who, for all intents and purposes, they are cessationists. What does that mean, cessationist? They believe that when the King James Bible was written and printed, God stopped talking. Because the Bible's perfect. Well, it is perfect. It's infallible. There are some errors in transcription. But God never stopped speaking to anybody. Are you with me? He never stopped speaking to anybody. Nothing in the Bible says he'll stop talking. Well, doesn't the Bible say when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away? Yeah, it does. But that which is perfect hadn't come yet. Because Paul said, when that which is perfect is come, then I will see face to face. You with me? He said, but now we see through a glass darkly. Listen, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. And he's an agent of the great shepherd. And his job is to lead you, guide you, speak to you, and show you the way. And he does it many different ways. I remember one night I was going to work. Work. Secular work. I worked third shift in a convenience store on the north side of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Well, this particular Saturday I was working second shift, and so I'm driving to work. And I remember the route I took was the same every day. Oklahoma's flat. And some of the blocks are literally a mile long in some of the rural areas. So I'm driving on North Lewis Avenue. And there's a certain light that I always got to. And as I'm in the passing lane, I noticed that the light was red. But I see the other light turn yellow, which means by the time I get to the intersection, I'm going to have a green light. So I'm just motoring through the intersection in my Volkswagen Rabbit, 1979 VW Rabbit, blue with vinyl guts, 5-speed manual transmission, no air in Oklahoma. I sweated real good. So I'm heading to the intersection. I'm about a quarter mile away. The light turns green. I'm heading to the intersection, minding my own business. All of a sudden, I heard the Holy Ghost. He spoke to me. He said, don't go through the intersection. And it was loud. I thought I heard it with these. Don't go through the intersection. And so I pulled up to the intersection and stopped, and just when I got to the intersection, a brown Lincoln Town Car with an exhaust that was as loud as a truck blew the light at 70 miles an hour. And as I got to the intersection, I looked to my left and I heard this car. And I just sat there and had a praise party. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He saved my life. And I was the only one in the car. There was nobody with me. But I heard his voice. Don't go through the intersection. Now, what was that? Was that just some freaky apparition? No, that was the great shepherd using the agent of the Holy Spirit to spare my life. Thank God it pays to listen. And he's done that to me three times. And it wasn't always intersections driving. But three times. Three times. Now, wow, I don't know. Sound kind of weird. God talks to you. Yeah, he talks to you too. You just don't listen. You know he talks to you. Now, sometimes he speaks. Sometimes he leads. Sometimes he guides. Sometimes he just gives you that inward witness. You just know. Now, let me show you this. All of us have experienced it. Have you ever done anything or made a decision? And you're just up here, you just, man, this has got to be the right thing. This has got to be the right guy. This has got to be the, whatever. And you go ahead and do it. And then it all blows up in your face. It all blows up in your face. What's the first thing you said to yourself? I knew I shouldn't have done that. How did you know? The Holy Ghost on the inside of you? The agent of the great shepherd trying to save you a whole lot of heartache and trouble and time? But we didn't listen. Are you with me? If you can't say amen, say oh me. It's happened to all of us. You just know. Now, there have been times, and I don't have this happen to me just because I'm a minister. But I'm convinced that the great shepherd loves every one of the sheep the same. God's no respecter of persons. But there have been times I've had conversations with people and they're telling me one thing. On the inside, I know something else. I know what they're saying ain't so. You know what I mean? And so you just look at them and you smile. Oh yeah, praise the Lord. You know? And you know better. Are you with me? You know better. Well, he'll do the same thing with you. Now, let me show you one last scripture, and then we'll pick up on this next week, okay? Because I'm not nearly done. But turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Kings. Let me show you something. 1 Kings chapter 19. Following the shepherd. I tell you, great provision awaits those who follow the shepherd. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, into the earth to lead us, to guide us, to speak to us, to show us things. 1 Kings chapter 19. And let me give you a little bit of background without reading a whole lot of scripture here. When you have a chance, this is the story of Elijah the prophet after he had killed the prophets of Baal. And there happened to be two leaders in Israel at the time, Ahab, who was the king, and Jezebel, his wife. Everybody's heard of Jezebel. This was one tough woman. This was one ungodly woman. This was a very controlling woman. Now, you know, I've hung around churches, and I still hear this expression today. In fact, I read it last week, Jezebel's spirit. How can you tell a Jezebel spirit? Hey, Margie, Greg, back in the old days, if you wore a little too much rouge, your lipstick was red, and you wore the wrong colors, then people called you a Jezebel. Listen, that had nothing to do with what Jezebel did. There was a time Jezebel painted her face. She didn't put lipstick on. Listen, folk, it's not a sin to wear lipstick. It's not a sin, ladies, to make yourself look nice. Are you with me? Anybody who preaches that clothesline stuff, just realize that they don't know any better. They're old school. Okay? Love them, but it ain't true. All right? There's nothing wrong with making yourself look. When Jezebel painted her face, I mean, she really painted her face. I mean, she was ready for some bad stuff. It's not talking about she put a little lipstick on or whatever. I'm not going to get in trouble today. I'm not going there. Okay. But anyway, he had killed the prophets of Baal. God had displayed his hand mightily. And when Jezebel found out that her prophets were dead, she sent a message to Elijah. I'm going to cut your head off today. And this man who had just experienced the power of God working of miracles, fire fell from heaven. I mean, some strong stuff. Runs from Jezebel. And finds himself in a desperate situation. And, you know, he got depressed and, you know, wanted to end it all, wanted to die. And I like the way God does things. God has a sense of humor. God came to Elijah. He knew his heart. He knew exactly what he was dealing with. And he said this to Elijah. Ask him a question. Elijah, what are you doing here? And he said, oh, I'm the only one who serves you. Nobody else is doing what I'm doing. Blah, 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 blah. And the Lord says, I got 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee to Baal. You don't know what you're talking about. And he ministered to Elijah. Now, there was a time, I've told this story before. Some of y'all know all my stories, or some of them. But I had the Lord speak to me, ask me the same thing. What are you doing here? And you know where I was? Civic Arena in Pittsburgh, 1977. Commodore's concert. They had just opened the dome on the Civic Arena because all the weed was, you know, just opened the dome, I think, to air the place out. And the Commodores were singing Brick House. Ow, she was a brick. Doo, 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 doo. I shared this with Marcel one time. He said, yeah, you were listening to Brick House. I was playing Brick House. He was in a band called the 747s, you know. Marcel started playing in jazz clubs in New Orleans when he was 12 years old. And, yeah. And so I'm at there, and I'm in a brick house now. You know, everybody's jamming. I'm looking around. And there was a guy behind me in a wheelchair with a wine bottle. And he's there, It was just a surreal scene. And just deafening noise and just brick, everybody jamming. And God spoke to me right in the middle of that. And he asked me a question. He said, what are you doing here? I said, God, I don't know. I don't know. That fixed me real good, you know. I said, what am I doing? Now, nothing wrong with the Commodores, okay? Nothing wrong with good music. I like good music. We enjoy it, all right. It's not music that is detrimental. It's not the medium. It's the message that's detrimental. You can have the softest music. If it's got the wrong message, something's wrong, okay? And Brick House had the wrong message, okay? 36, 24, you see? Music has a way of touching you. I haven't heard that song in so long, I still know it, see? It's not the music, it's not the media, it's the message, it's the message. Everybody say it's the message. Okay? All right? That's nice if you built like a brick house. God bless you. All right? But just live a godly life. Live a godly life. Amen? Oh, boy. Okay. No, don't you dare play Brick House. Okay. Now, Elijah is in the midst of this depression state. God is ministering to him. Jezebel has threatened his life. Now, I want you to see what God did. Verse 11, 1 Kings 19. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. And the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, underline these words, a still, small voice. And it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entering into the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" Listen, most of the time, God speaks to us in that still, small voice. You're missing it when you think that, oh God, you know, crack the heavens and speak to me. No, he's not going to do that. You know, let fire come down and show me a sign. No, he's not going to do that. He's going to speak to you in that still, small voice. Now listen, if you're distracted, you won't hear it. If your life is filled with clutter and noise and junk, you may not hear it. Sometimes he has to speak louder than at other times because your life is at stake. But most of the time, he's going to speak to you through his word or on the inside of you, that still, small voice. Now, if you're the kind of person who meditates on God's word consistently, has a prayer life that is consistent, where you speak to him and you expect him to speak to you, you'll hear that voice. All you have to do is obey. Are you with me? Now, the primary way he leads us is through the word. He's never going to tell you to do anything that's contrary to what he's already said in his word. But there are a lot of issues in life that the Word of God does not specifically address. Like, should you buy that piece of property? Nothing in the Bible that says, thou shalt buy the house at such and such. But the shepherd will lead you. You with me? I have a dear friend. I'll close with this story. His name is Robin Roberts. Powerful minister of the gospel. He lives in East Alton, Illinois. I've known Robin for 30 years. But Robin, again, travels the world. He's done over 50 trips to Europe evangelizing, preaching the gospel. And 2 years ago, they had an outreach event here, and we were part of the group that participated. And I think it was Janet was in the group. Alonzo, you were in the group. Several were in the group. Charles, you were in the group. And I think it was in a two-hour period. We won like 130 people to Jesus. And Robin, this organization that he heads is called Vision Europe. But Robin told me one time, he said, you know, Bill, one time I needed a car. I was on the road constantly doing ministry. And there was a certain brand of car that I wanted. I wanted it a certain color with certain interior. He said, and I found that car at a dealership. He said, God, that's the car that I want. That's the one I've been believing for. He said, and he heard that still small voice say, don't buy that car. He said, but that's the one I want. That's the color. That's the interior. It's got all the gadgets on it that I need. This is the one I've been praying about. And he bought it. And had nothing but trouble with it. Continuously. Nothing but trouble. And so he went to the Lord about it and he said, Lord, you know, why is this not working out? You know, I'm spending all this money trying to keep this car fixed up and on the road. And the Lord said to him, he said, I never told you not to buy that particular brand and that color and that options. I told you not to buy that one. But you did it your way. Amen. Amen. Following the shepherd. He's still leading us today. Amen. Now, there are many ways that the shepherd leads. The two primary ways are through the word and by the spirit within. We'll build on this again next week. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please?